everybody. It's another Sports Hub Patriots podcast. Alex Barth alongside Matt Dolliff, 98.5thesportshub.com's very own. You might be familiar with us. We've been covering training camp for the last 3 weeks, really through that, you know, initial burst of training camp now. Recording this on Wednesday when the team has the day off leading into the preseason opener.
Barth, if they're not familiar with us, I would ask you, how the hell did you get here?
That's very true. How did you find the podcast at that point? But we're glad
I want to know. Google, Facebook?
Well, if they're Googling you, I don't think the podcast is the first thing that's going to come up.
That's a good point.
But
I'm innocent, I tell you.
Anyways, the Patriots play their first preseason game on Thursday. We'll get into that in a little bit, but we didn't get a chance to do recap podcast for the last 2 days of training camp with the late practice on Monday, and then I was filling in on the night show yesterday, so it was a bit of a time crunch. So we don't necessarily have to do the last 2 days as a whole, but as we sit here, you know, week three in the books, just sort of taking stock of where we're at heading into that first preseason game. And the big one, obviously, the offense finally showed something yesterday. The offensive line opened up some holes in the running game, protected Mac Jones.
Sure.
So the good news is they're making progress. The bad news is the first time we got to say that was day 11.
I know. Well, yeah, it's just crazy that 10th practice, it felt like it was the worst day yet. So I mean,
it was a step back, it felt like.
Yeah, like an actual step backward. For a while, it felt like it was just the same thing every day, but it felt like they actually got worse. But I guess maybe that players only thing, whatever that meeting was with David Andrews on the practice field after practice was. I guess maybe that was beneficial. Maybe that sort of locked guys in. You know, like there's been like rumblings with people, you know, reporters close to the team saying that like there's problems with the players maybe not buying in totally. But, you know, maybe they just needed a little kick in the ass. Maybe they needed Andrews, who's going to be a team captain, I assume, saying, guys, we need to get our you know what together because we're going to have to score points and win games at some point. So I think they've just struggled to sort of adjust to like starting over basically in terms of system. And this is a point that you've made, Barth, is that they technically have four new starters on the O-line because four guys are changing positions. David Andrews is the only guy playing the same position. So like that's been a change, and like there's just all this new stuff, and it's been a very steep learning curve, and it hasn't really helped them that, or maybe it has helped them, but they've gone up against a defense that hasn't really changed anything, I don't think so, in terms of terminology or anything like that. So they're on the same page. So they're going up against a defense that I think is going to be better than people want to give it credit for, and they're all on the same page. And so like I think that's shown up in the results. But it's good that they finally got that kick in the ass, and it feels like they sharpened up a little bit and finally started to take another baby step in the right direction and all that stuff. But I think we're not really going to know where they're at until at least the preseason.
Right, and that's why this is interesting. So you see a lot of people, you talk about, oh, the Patriots offense struggled again today, and why are we panicking? It's only August. It's only the preseason. No team is perfect at this point of the year. It's not necessarily that they don't look good now, so we're worried. It's they don't look any better than they looked 2 weeks ago, right? It's not necessarily the lack of results. It's the lack of progress towards results. So that's why Tuesday's practice is so encouraging. And now, you know, if they can take that momentum going into the preseason game, I've been saying all week, like, what if they put up 480 yards on the Giants?
Right,
like,
yeah.
It would just be hilarious, the fallout. And I don't know that it'll be that. I think that the really interesting thing for me to figure out, and this kind of ties into camp and the preseason game, we get to put context to all of this, right? Because you get people who ask, well, how do we know the defense isn't just really good? And I think there's something to that. I think there's certainly troubles with the offense. There's troubles with the offensive line that are offensive line troubles. Like you mentioned, four guys in new spots from last year, new coaches, a new scheme. But I do think the defense deserves some credit here. And the tricky thing about camp is the team can never have a good day, right? Because for the offense to have a good day, the defense has to not look so good. For the defense to have a good day, even one-on-ones, right?
It's very hard for them to have, like, even. It would be even at best, right? I guess that's what you're hoping for is an even day.
Right. Both sides could be bad. You could commit a ton of penalties and just look lost. But you're never really going to have both sides look good. So what's really exciting about Tuesday, and then we'll get into the joint practices next week with the Panthers, which I believe the joint practices are worth as much, if not more, than the preseason games because you're competing against another team, but in a more controlled environment, we're really going to learn a ton then. So I like the defensive line. I do think this might be indicative that they found some things there and figured some things out there that maybe were issues down the stretch last year. But we're really going to find out on Thursday exactly which side these offensive issues can be attributed to.
Yeah, just to circle back to the beginning of your point, I mean, I know that the reality is that there's no need to panic right now because they haven't even played a single game yet, not even a fake preseason game. And so, but the other part of that reality is that we work for a sports radio station, and we got to do 4 hours of radio every day, at least all of our shows. So there's going to be a little bit of panic. We're going to react to what's going on in front of us, and what's been going on in front of us is it hasn't looked good, at least for the offense. And like you said, it would be better. We wouldn't be panicking or like close to hitting that panic button if they were getting a little bit better every day. And like I feel differently about some of the individual talent. Like I get more excited about Tyquan Thornton every day.
Because
he keeps getting a little bit better every day.
Exactly. That's why we're so excited about him. It's not just that he looks good, because I'll say, oh, Tyquan Thornton popped today, and people go,
well, N'Keal Harry popped his rookie year. He did not pop like this kid's pop.
So the thing is, like, yes, there were drills where N'Keal Harry, you saw his physical skill.
He would occasionally make a good play on a jump ball, but like, Tyquan Thornton looks very well-rounded.
And it's not just that he looks well-rounded, which he does, and that's big. He's doing it consistently. He's been good every day. And that, for rookies as a whole, like, this is just something when you're evaluating camp in general, and this is something you can remember into next year and down the road. Everybody at this level is talented. You don't get to this level without having some natural football ability. But can you show that ability day after day after day? Does the grind not get to you? And that's what we've seen from Tyquan Thornton, and that's why it's so exciting. It's not just flashes where it's like, oh, did he have a fluke play, right? It's day in, day out, drill in, drill out. He looks like a legitimate NFL receiver. He still has boxes to check. We need to see him do it in a live game. We need to see him do it against other competition.
Yeah, but I'm
really excited to see him against Stephon Gilmore next week.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's done everything to this point.
Yeah, we haven't seen many moments where it's like, oh, he's got a long way to go.
Oh, that's a rookie.
We've seen that. Yeah, we've seen that with, say, Jack Jones, the cornerback.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Jack Jones had a case of the Foxborough flu and we don't even see him until next year. And, like, you know, I still kind of like him. I like the draft pick, but, like, you know, we're going to see Tyquan Thornton in his rookie year making meaningful plays. That's a fair prediction to make, I think. But just to circle back again, you were talking about the defense.
Right.
Speaking of panic, our buddy Adam Jones, who he was on with you last night, right?
Filling in. It was me and McCone.
You and McCone. Okay. All right.
Jones, unfortunately, with Jackie Bradley Jr. signing with the Blue Jays, he was not on to celebrate that last night.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't been up on the most recent on-air schedule. But, like, his whole premise basically has been, well, the Patriots' defense sucks. I mean, they suck, and they're shutting down the offense. So how bad is the offense? And, like, if he had me on and he said that, I would say, I don't think the defense sucks. I don't think they're going to suck. I think they might not be elite. They might not have a lot of elite talent. But, like, a lot of defense is just scheme and everyone being on the same page, especially with Bill Belichick and obviously Steve Belichick.
Right.
And I think Gerard Mayo is a good coach. We might have to start giving Mike Pellegrino credit at some point, because I think the secondaries look good. I think they're going to be okay at cornerback. I think there's going to be times where they run into a deep offense. We've talked about this. They're going to run into a good offense like the Bengals, maybe, where they have a deep receiving core and a good quarterback. Well, they might be able to take advantage of a guy like Terrence Mitchell. Like, if Terrence Mitchell has to cover, you know, T. Higgins or you know,
right,
Tyler Boyd or whatever, he might have a tough day. But I think they're better than people are giving it credit for. I think Devon Godshaw, he's probably not one of the best defensive linemen in the league. I'll respectfully disagree with Bill. I know Bill knows more than me, but I'm going to disagree with Bill on that take. But I think he's going to be better. He's going to be one of the guys that takes a little bit of a step forward in year two. Henry Anderson's a guy who's been out there, and he's looked pretty good. He can be an edge setter. And so I think they're better equipped, and they're all on the same page. And so I think they're going to look a little better. Up front are where most of my concerns are with the defense. But especially in the secondary, like, Jalen Mills has had a good camp. Jonathan Jones has been back. He's lining up all over the field. I really like what I've seen from Terrence Mitchell. I think Terrence Mitchell is going to be a guy that fits really well and takes the coaching and executes and all that. So I think the defense is better than people are giving it credit for. But we can get into it. We're talking about, you know, the preseason and things coming up. But, like, I want to see how it looks against another, you know, not against themselves.
Right, exactly.
But I think based on what we've seen, I think you got to give the defense a little bit of credit.
I really like the defensive front. I think the defensive front's going to be better. I still have my questions about the secondary, and those will be answered, like you said, coming up. So do you want to do the big picture stuff first or the individual players first for the preseason game?
Let's do the individual players
first. All
right,
so you're doing...
It out with the big picture.
You're writing this, and what are you posting it today? Thursday morning?
Thursday morning,
Thursday morning,
yeah.
What are you, top three, top five? I clearly know what's going on.
Right now, the number is X. I'll settle on a number at some point
A certain number. You'll have to check out 98.5 The Sports Hub. You'll have to check out 98.5thesportshub.com to figure out how many players Matt Dolloff has, players to watch in the preseason opener. I think we kind of touched on Tyquan Thornton. He's definitely a guy for me. Cole Strange, I mean, his first-round pick. I know it's obvious. Cole Strange is a big one. The Giants' defensive line isn't horrible. We're going to find out what this guy can do against NFL talent.
That's going to be exciting. Yeah, I mean, like, the rookies aren't going to be on my list because my thing is going to be more of, like,
under the off-season radar.
Additions, under the radar guys, okay. Free agents. But, like, I've mentioned Terrence Mitchell before. He's going to be on the list. Yeah. I want to see how he looks against someone else's receiver. I don't know how much he's going to play. I don't know how much they're going to play the starters in the first place, but we'll see him in the preseason at some point.
Yeah.
Ty Montgomery is a guy we've seen a lot of in camp. And, you know, he could be counted on a lot, especially with James White out, you know, at least to start the season. Like he's probably going to have to step in and be the immediate James White replacement until they think of a long-term answer there. So he's going to be a guy to watch. Anthony Jennings is an interesting one because he was a guy that's barely played the last couple of years. And when he has, he hasn't looked great when he's out there. But at the same time, they've been sort of rebuilding at that position on the fly at linebacker. So maybe they've had to play him out of his spot. But, like, he's stepped in. When Matt Judon wasn't available for a couple practices, it was Anthony Jennings who stepped right in.
And he's so, like,
looked
good.
These looked fine. They consider him the replacement level player for Matt Judon, which is probably more than anyone would have thought for him. Well, they probably thought, like, he's a bust. He's not going to play.
Let me push back on that. He was top 100 pick. He was actually, you know, he was the second most used linebacker on the 2020 team his rookie year. Only Juwan Bentley played more snaps than him. Now, granted, he only played 33% of the time. They just didn't play linebackers that year.
It was all safety.
Right, Adrian Phillips. Right, but behind Bentley, that was the guy, Anthony Jennings, and he played a ton on special teams too. And I don't think he looked terrible as a rookie. He wasn't amazing, but he wasn't bad. He looked about what
looked like a rookie.
Looked about what a late third round pick should look like.
Yeah, and a guy that was hurt a lot didn't play a lot. So it wasn't surprising, you know.
Last year, he misses the whole year with injury, which happens. And then everybody just wrote him off. Like, I never...
That's sort of what I'm saying. I'm not saying it was right, but, like, right. People are writing him off.
No, you're right. I never really understood why people did that. I think not only can he play, I think he's a perfect fit for what they value defensively and what they want to do.
They needed that edge-setting guy for so long, you know?
I'm excited that he's taken off here early in camp. I'm excited to see what he can do. And I think he has a real shot. I'm working on my first roster projection that will be up after the game. I'll tweak it for the game, of course, but kind of laying the groundwork. I have him on. I have him solidly on the roster right now. And we'll see what he does Thursday night.
I think he's in because of his usage that we've seen. Like, unless Bill's really just trying to pump up his trade value, I guess. I don't know. But, I mean, I doubt that. I think they like him. I think they're fine. Like, the first thing that came out of Bill's mouth is, like, well, he's been here. So that's been huge. So, like, I think just the fact that he's been available and on the field, and, like, I think that's sort of paying off that he's putting in that sort of time and getting on the field and all that. And so, yeah, so he's a guy to watch. I can't think of the other guys that I was going to mention.
So let's just run through some others.
All these under-the-radar free agent signs, you're going to see some contributions from guys that we weren't really thinking about in the offseason because I think people got disappointed that we didn't get another spending spree, but it sort of makes sense in retrospect. But I think a lot of these under-the-radar cheap signings they made that could pay dividends.
So let me give you a really interesting one, and this is for Thursday night and for the preseason as a whole. Trey Nixon. Trey Nixon is in this really interesting spot because...
Guys, first of all, Barth is obsessed with anyone outside of the top five receivers. You can't get any of these guys on the roster fast enough.
Well, no. Listen to what I have to say. Right now, Trey Nixon probably played well enough to make the team just in a vacuum, but Nelson Agholor, Tyquan Thornton, Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker, and... Jacoby Myers, that's five receivers right there, plus maybe Ty Montgomery is six. So he's really got it. He's got to do one of two things to me. He's got to play really well, and then maybe he makes the roster, but it's still tough. Or he's got to play poorly enough that they can get him on the practice squad. Like, it's a really interesting spot with him, right? Because if he
Bill's
plays...
like, just go out there and drop a couple.
if he plays too well, it's Austin Carr, remember? They thought they were going to get Austin Carr to the practice squad, and he got claimed by the Saints. So, like, I think Trey Nixon's in a really interesting spot because he's played well. He's shown he's an NFL talent. I don't know what other depth receivers I've been raving about that you're bringing that
oh,
up.
Oh, you love Christian Wilkerson and
I'm kind of off that one. Christian Wilkerson was my guy last year.
Okay, you're not no longer Christian Wilkerson.
I thought you meant because I put little Jordan Humphrey in my notebook yesterday.
Humphrey, yes.
He led the team in catches. I made a note he led the team in catches for the day. I didn't realize that means that I'm fitting him for a red jacket.
You're obsessed. You're putting him in Canton. No, but to your point, Trey Nixon is a guy who's made the most of his opportunities.
Yes.
Right? The opportunities have been sort of few and far between because of the depth chart. But he's made the most of them. You know, I like what I've seen from him. He had one of the better catches when he caught a touchdown, a quote-unquote touchdown, in the red zone from Mac Jones. There haven't been many of those throughout camp, and he was one of the only ones to actually make a play like that. So, I mean, yeah, I kind of like what we've seen for Trey Nixon. Wasn't the book on him is that he can do everything, he just has to catch the ball more consistently?
Yeah, and develop as a route runner, which he's definitely done.
But he's capable. Like he knew he was capable of all those things, but like he had to catch up in terms of actually.
He had the foundation of being an NFL route runner.
He had to actually have
that development, which he's done.
Right. He's a big piece of marble that he could be chiseled into something.
Well, yeah. When I think of the hands, that's Christian Wilkerson. Like Christian Wilkerson can get open, but he just can't.
Yeah, that's true.
He struggles to catch the ball.
That's right. He looks like such a good NFL receiver until the ball reaches his hands.
Right.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Nixon's in a really interesting spot. I think he's definitely a player to watch. Another sort of emerging position battle here. Isaiah Wynn hasn't practiced the last 2 days. Justin Herron got the snaps at right tackle on Monday. Then it was Yadni Kajust on Tuesday. Those two might be battling for that backup swing tackle spot. And I don't know that the guy who loses that battle makes the roster. Maybe becomes a practice squad guy. But, you know, I like Herron better, but he was the guy on Monday. The offense wasn't great on Monday. Kajust was the guy on Tuesday. The offense looked a lot better on Tuesday. I don't think it was because of that switch, but you can't ignore that either.
Yeah, I honestly still have high hopes for Kajust because, I mean, and Herron. Because I always think, like, they can figure it out with those guys. Bill can mold those guys, even with no Dante Scarnecchia. Dante Scarnecchia was obviously the best ever at that. He could get the most out of any player. He turned Marcus Cannon into an all-pro and all that stuff. But I just always have confidence that they can figure that out on the offensive line. I'm just not sure how much of a future Isaiah Wynn has here. You got to think they get frustrated with his inability to stay on the field consistently. Availability is the most important thing for a lot of players, but it really is on the offensive line, too. It's like we need you to be out there every game, every snap. We can't be having a revolving door at tackle. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting if Wynn sticks around and he is locked in as the starter. It's going to be interesting to see who makes the team between Kajust and Herron, because I don't see both of them making the team, really, right?
I wonder if they could get Kajust to the practice squad, and then he becomes a guy you can elevate. Herron's shown enough that might be tough, especially
That's a guy I think he would get claimed by someone.
Yeah, but that's a brewing position battle. I'm looking forward to seeing the rookie running back, specifically Pierre Strong. I don't know how much he'll play, just because he hasn't practiced a ton. He's been limited.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be out there much.
Here's the thing. If he comes out and he plays a ton, that's a great sign. That's a great sign because, again, it seems like James White, you know, the clock's really ticking on him. Will he be there to start the year? I think at this point you have to start planning like he's not. And Pierre Strong fits the mold of the guy who can fill that role. He's not the only one. Ty Montgomery can do it. Ramondre Stevenson can do it. But then they really have to put a lot on his plate. But Pierre Strong clicking would be big for this team. And, again, if they give him a lot of opportunities Thursday night, that tells me that they're not too worried about the time he missed the first 2 weeks of camp, right? So that would be a big sign for him.
Yeah, I mean, my instinct is we're going to see a lot more of the other running back they drafted, Kevin Harris, because he's been out there.
I would think so, yeah.
But yeah, Pierre Strong's a guy I want to see because, I mean, you've been telling me about this kid forever. And, like, I didn't really watch much of what was his college?
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State? South Dakota State.
I was gonna
say, it was one of those
Jackrabbits. I know it's the Jackrabbits.
I was going to say it was a state college, you know. But, like, yeah, I don't watch much South Dakota State football. So I'm interested to see what he looks like. All right, I'll give it a shot.
We're going to get you into college football this year.
We might have to do a whole pod on, like, intro to college football for me.
Oh, do not tempt me with a good time.
All right.
Do not tempt me with a good time.
All right, we're not going on a college football team.
No, it's on air. That is happening at some point.
All right, fine. Let's not go on the college football tangent right now. But, yeah, no, my point is, like, I just haven't seen much of Pierre Strong play. And, like, I think we got to start thinking about the future, the post-James White era. You know, that's at least coming up, if not this year, you know, soon. So we got to think about who's going to replace him, and, like, that might take time. And I feel like Ty Montgomery could be a good, like, stopgap, but Pierre Strong's a guy that has the potential to be that long-term answer. So it would, like you said, just the fact, this is what you like mainly look for in the preseason is like who's out there and when. And so, like, if Pierre Strong's out there a lot, that's a great sign because we haven't seen him at practice, but they're that confident that they just put him right out there. So that's going to be interesting to look for.
All right, on defense, we kind of talked about Anfernee Jennings a little bit. Anybody else stand out to you on the defensive side of the ball you're looking forward to see? I think the rookie corners are a big one, obviously. Jack Jones, Marcus Jones. You know, I'll give you this, too, how they use Jonathan Jones if he plays. We started to see him line up more on the boundary. Is that just a thing in camp to see if he can do it, or is this a plan? I think if we see him on the boundary Thursday night, that's significant.
I think we're going to see him on the boundary. We've seen him do it before. They like to line him up against certain types of receivers. Like Tyreek Hill is a great example of how they typically like to put Jonathan Jones on him, regardless of where he is, whether it's the slot or outside. So I think they feel good about him playing outside. I don't think he's like an every snap outside corner. He doesn't really have the size for that, but like an undersized, faster receiver, he matches up well against
guys. There's a lot of those guys on the schedule this year.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we are going to see a lot of that. We're going to see a lot of plays. Like we talked about it before where like I think Marcus Jones, the rookie, he has a chance to play the most of any rookie, I feel. There's some of them I might not be. Outside of Cole Strange.
Okay, yeah.
Cole Strange is obviously going to play every snap if he's healthy, I think. Right. So. Yeah, but on defense anyway, Marcus Jones has been already playing a lot, getting some looks at the ones. Obviously, some of that was before Jonathan Jones came back, but the way they've been setting it up lately, like there's going to be plays where I think Marcus Jones is the slot corner and Jonathan Jones is on the outside. It's going to depend on matchups, but I think we're going to see a lot of that. We could see some of that in the preseason opener Thursday. We'll probably see it at some point in the preseason, if not Thursday. But yeah, that's interesting to watch. But the most interesting, the one to watch really is the linebackers. I want to see, this all goes back to my overarching take of I want to see how all these guys look against a different team and not their own teammates. You know, so like guys like Mac Wilson, Raekwon McMillan, those guys, they guys have been like getting through untouched against the offensive line, this offensive line that like has really struggled to get used to the new terminology, setting protections and all that. So I want to see how they look against an offensive line that is closer to on the same page. I mean, who the hell knows with the Giants and that? Who knows how good Brian Daboll is as a head coach and all that? I don't know what's going on there, really. But if that offensive line for the Giants is on the same page, setting protections, and like we're looking at just basic plays, and the linebackers aren't doing anything, that might change our opinion of this group. But guys like Mac Wilson have looked explosive, but at the same time, like I want to see how it looks when the offensive line sort of knows what it has to do and is sort of executing a little better. That's gonna be a huge key to defense being better than last year, because what was the biggest issue last year? They were old and slow. Right. And that's sort of, they corrected that by, you know, moving on. It seems like they're moving on from Dante Hightower. I don't know if Dante Hightower is going to play again. They moved on from Kyle Van Noy. Jamie Collins probably isn't really the same player anymore. And they bring in Mac Wilson, who is fast. He is explosive.
Yep.
So they traded Chase Winovich for him, so I think this seems like a better fit culturally, physically, all that stuff. And, you know, McMillan has looked good every time he's been out there. Even last year, we were feeling good about him before he got his torn ACL. It feels like he's right back out there. Nothing happened to him. So, I mean, he's more of an inside guy, but, like, I'm very intrigued to see how it all fits with the new linebackers against an actual, like, another opponent.
No, I'm right there with you. I think McMillan and Wilson are exactly the guys everybody's been looking for the last like 6 or 8 months, especially after the Patriots didn't take a linebacker in the draft. I'm very excited about that group. And yeah, like you said, watching them against another team. And I think what's really interesting, you talk about, all right, well, what are some of the things they need help with defending? And the Giants said that they're going to play their guys for at least a couple series. You know, what were some of the Patriots' biggest issues last year? Those like shifty, fast slot guys, right? The Isaiah McKenzie's. The Giants got two of them, right, in Kadarius Toney and Wandale Robinson. What else did they struggle with? Running backs, especially in the passing game.
Saquon Barkley.
So
I don't know if we'll see much of Saquon Barkley.
I'm not saying that we'll be able to, you know, all of the concerns from last year will be put to bed on Thursday. I'm not saying that, but you talk about a chance to identify look at weaknesses from last year and identify maybe how the team is changing things in regard to defending those weaknesses. We're at least going to get a glimpse of that Thursday. So that's exciting. Like, that's interesting. Like you said, maybe it's only a series or two, if that. I would think we'll see Wandale Robinson quite a bit. He's a rookie. him versus Marcus Jones will be a very interesting matchup.
That's
I'm
interesting.
Hoping we
rookie
get a lot
rookie,
of that.
Rookie on rookie crime.
I'm hoping we get a lot of that. And I was a huge Wandale guy in the draft. Huge Wandale guy.
I remember you telling me about Wandale.
One of my first guys I was really like locked in on. So that, you know, it's a good matchup. And then honestly, going into next week too, just while we're on this and getting into the joint practices, Christian McCaffrey. It's another guy where you're looking at athletic linebackers and safeties to kind of help neutralize that guy. So we're going to get a good look here at some of the things that were weaknesses for the Patriots last year and how maybe they're tweaking their approach to those things.
Yeah, I mean, look, maybe I don't know if we're going to see this Thursday night, but Kyle Duggar is a guy to think about in terms of stopping the running backs. I feel like he's going to be, you know, he's going to be a very key piece to that whole thing. And you know, I know we've seen Adrian Phillips a lot with the base defense against the run, but Kyle Duggar's been—he's already shown real good ability to close and tackle well in the run, playing
right.
A sort of a box type of role. So I mean, I'm hoping I still high on Kyle Duggar. I hope he takes another step forward and he could become one of those upper echelon safeties. And so like I feel like he's going to be a key piece to that.
Anything else you're looking for tomorrow night?
Oh, you really put me on the spot here, Barth. I think we've really gone over it. I guess, I mean, we haven't really talked much about the receivers themselves. I want to see how they look against another secondary. I don't know who the Giants have. Do they have James Bradbury, or was that?
They were.
Don't they have someone good at cornerback?
They had James Bradbury, but they were going to trade him, and then they couldn't find somebody to trade him for. And hang on,
do
I'm
the Giants have
up.
Kenny Golladay still?
We're so prepared for this game, Matt.
I know, you can tell I've really poured over the Giants roster.
Well, to be fair to us, if this was the regular season, we would have the answer to these questions.
Right, yeah, we'll do a little more homework when the real game starts.
Who's the first guy, the second guy? Oh, they do still have Kenny Golladay.
Okay, so yeah, that's, well, that's
switching. They do also have Austin Prohl, son of Ricky Prohl.
Oh, there you go. No, I'm old.
They have a corner. Cordell Flott was a guy, I'm just going alphabetically here, a lot of people liked in the draft. He's a rookie. Adoree Jackson.
Oh, he's
good. The big one. Yeah. Adoree Jackson, they did trade James Bradbury. I cannot. People are probably like yelling at us too right now, like through their phone.
They traded him here.
How do you not know they traded him here? Philadelphia Eagles. They traded him in the division, or did they cut him?
I couldn't tell you. So
they released him. That's right. I remember this now. They released him. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
They don't have him anymore.
That was like our version of Felger and Mazmath. But I guess the more interesting matchup now would be if Kenny Golladay's out there and he's lining up against Jalen Mills, that'll be something interesting to watch for. Because Jalen Mills has looked really good, but how's he going to look when he's up against a real, like a good outside receiver that he hasn't seen every day in camp, you know? And I feel like Devontae Parker's been like pretty good practice for a guy like Kenny Golladay, but that would be an interesting matchup.
Well, kind of similar receivers, but yeah, you're right. I would say that's a good point. So again, Patriots preseason preseason opener Thursday. Coverage of that one on the Sports Hub. Pregame starts at 4 o'clock. The game starts at 7. And we'll have you covered 98.5 thesportshub.com. We'll have all the written content leading up to the game, after the game, and then we'll have a recap podcast most likely Friday, maybe Saturday, but most likely Friday. We'll kind of break that game down, what we liked, what we didn't like, and we'll start to look ahead to the joint practices against the Carolina Panthers, which is really, honestly, where roster spots are won and lost, where depth chart spots are won and lost. Like, that's the...
Where ACLs are torn and not torn.
Well, you know, let's hope not. But anyway, until then, for Matt Dolph, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening.
See ya.